chance? What's the chance? What's the chance of meeting your boss on holiday? A young girl called Catherine, a British girl, decided she wanted to go on holiday. The problem was she couldn't get any time off work, so she did exactly what lots of you have done. She phoned in sick. And she decided that she was going to go on holiday anyway. She gets to a destination, and the sun was shining, and there was palm trees as she looked out of the window of her apartment, and there was the beach and the sea, and as she looked up in the sky, her boss was on the balcony above. What's the chances of that happening? They were both completely shocked and amazed. One, because she should have been at work and she wasn't because she was supposed to be ill. And the other one, what's the chances of that happening? Well, actually, a mathematician from the Open University actually calculated what those odds were. And she went into every possible, feasible, complex calculation. And the odds aren't that high. The odds were 1 in 1,000 that you could be on holiday and meet somebody that you know. It's not that high, is it? What's the odds of you becoming an astronaut? It's actually 1 in 13,200,000. What's the chances of you finding a priceless heirloom on the Antiques Roadshow? It's actually 1 in 60,000. What's the chance of you being struck by lightning? It's actually 1 in 12,000. What's the chances of injuring yourself by shaving? What? 1 in 6,000. What's the chances, if you're a man, of being scared of spiders? It's 1 in 85. What's the chance of getting hemorrhoids? It's 1 in 25. What's the chances of your marriage ending in divorce before its 20th wedding anniversary? It's 1 in 3. What's the chance of you dying? 1 in 1. What are the chances of you encountering Jesus? That's the question, isn't it? That's the real kind of question that we want to ask this morning, is what are the chances that we encounter Jesus in our life? That's the question that we've been asking over these last few weeks. And how we live this renewed life in the understanding that this God that we serve did die, but he came back alive again, and he offers us this kind of renewed life. What's the chances of that? What does it mean to encounter? You know, this sermon series was encountering more with Jesus. More what? More what? Because the dictionary tells us there's two kinds of encounter. You can encounter and you can meet somebody unexpectedly. You can be visiting somebody, you can be walking down the street, and all of a sudden you meet somebody, and it can be by chance. You run into them, you run across them, you come upon them. And we've all seen that. Maybe we've been in the high street and we've seen one of our friends, and we can hug them, and we can laugh with them, we can go for a coffee, we can have a chat. And we have this moment of happiness. We have this moment of joy where there's a brief encounter of some kind and it brings joy into our life. It's an encounter that we have. Now, some of you will know that if I use that phrase brief encounter, I hope you didn't watch that racy film all those years ago. How terrible that you watch Brief Encounter as Dr. Alex and Laura meet at the station under the clock. It might have been a brief encounter, but it was significant nonetheless. Is that the more kind of encounters that we're after? Well, the dictionary tells us that there's another kind of encounter. There's another kind of encounter, and the encounter is to be unexpectedly be faced with or experience something that's difficult. Maybe you could identify with this kind of encounter. You experience, you come into contact with. We encounter problems with our health, or somebody that we really love encounters problems with their health. We encounter problems in our relationships. We encounter some kind of unpleasant struggle. So we have a positive encounter. We meet somebody and it's just a pleasant experience. And we have a negative encounter. We've been asking for 7 weeks, I want to encounter more with Jesus. Which of those are you going to go for? Now, I think the thing is, if we're honest, we would probably say we would choose the first. Yeah? But there's something that happens in us when we encounter the other kind of situations. Sometimes the encounter can happen and you think, what's the chances of that? I haven't seen this person for years. You'll never guess who I met. And then you say, why on earth is this happening to me? But those encounters can shape our lives. And what's the amazing thing is that sometimes the change is far long lasting in our life than the brief encounter. That actually something that starts out as being an encounter that we wouldn't want is forced upon us and it's negative, but somehow, some way, some kind of renewal takes place that good comes out of the most awful situation. We all know that eyewitness accounts can be very different. Even in court now, they know scientifically that they can have 2 eyewitness statements and they can't rely on them. Because people can see the same thing completely different ways. And this is what Keith was telling us last week. And that's exactly the same with encounters that we have. We can have encounters that actually may seem as if they are the kind that we wouldn't want. And yet something in that encounter, we can see different. I'm often humbled by the stories that we hear of people who go through the most amazing, difficult times. And yet somewhere in that encounter, that struggle, that challenge that they're facing, something good comes out of it. The situation isn't good, but something good comes out of it. How people challenge the encounter of knowing that they're seriously ill. And yet even in that knowing, they somehow find peace and acceptance and deep joy. Last week, Keith talked to us about this 5-step process that seeing leads to recognizing and then to receiving and believing and most difficult part of all, living a resurrected life. Here's the truth that I've learned over the years. Learning something can be very easy. Living it can be very hard. Let's take marriage for instance. Look at this happy couple here. The whole life ahead of them. Beautiful smiles, beautiful dresses, a wonderful day. They've got the whole life in front of them. Now we all know that getting married actually can be quite easy. Learning how to be and building a marriage can be very difficult. Look at them at their 60th anniversary. Getting married is one thing, building a marriage is another thing. We're really happy we are, we're really happy together. What about this? We've all had this wonderful idea that we want to have a new piece of IKEA furniture in our living room. And we have these wonderful dreams of what it's going to look like. And we head up to Wensbury and we pack the car until you can't get yourself back into the car with the furniture that you bought. And it's hanging out of the boot. And we get home in full anticipation and we see this. See, learning about one thing and living it is a completely different situation. I also found that Noah had the same problem. I'll give you a second to look at that. Now, we can find ourselves in exactly the same situation when we think about living a resurrected life in the church. You want to flick it over to that next slide for us? That'd be great, thank you. Some of you, and me included, we've sat in church week after week after week after year, month after month, and then years after years and decades, and we've learned so much stuff. These walls are soaked with those words. Yet living them is a completely different ballgame. And it depends upon the encounters that you have. It depends upon the more encounter in Jesus that you are going to have as to how easy it is that what you've learned, you can live. How do you live on the basis of all this learning that you've had? Now, we're not the very first people to have asked that question. And many people throughout history, many people as we look into the New Testament have asked that same question. They've said, after the resurrection took place, after this Jesus came and all these things happened, what do we do about it? How do we deal with this? How do we live it? Learning it is one thing, living it is a completely different situation. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to look at the verses today with Acts chapter 2 from 14 to 47. And I'm not going to read all those verses. It's going to take all too much time. And to be honest, it can be boring to listen to somebody read all that stuff. So what I'm going to do is just look at a couple of verses in that passage. And you could read the other verses if you wanted to at home. Let's just give you a little bit of context, first of all. This group of men had been following Jesus around, and he'd been telling them that things were going to change. And they get to Jerusalem, and it's like the biggest party ever as they enter into the city. And yet 3 days later, everything has changed. He's dead. And then these encounters start to happen. These chance encounters start taking place. I bumped into Jesus on the beach and he cooked me a fish. Well, I don't believe unless I could see him. And then a chance encounter takes place. He appears in the middle of them all. There's one verse that says he appeared in a different form. What on earth was that? And then we hear that he's resurrected and he goes off to heaven and he says, now what I want you to do is wait around because something's going to happen. And so we're at this place where they've been waiting and they're all gathered. All these people are gathered. And it's hard for us sometimes to think, what must have been going through their minds at that time? We read it, but it's just difficult. You know, there must have been so many questions. And then Peter stands to his feet. This is the same Peter who had encountered Jesus. But the minute that he had one of those other encounters with the Roman soldiers, I've never met this Jesus, I don't know him. You see, Peter had one of those kind of encounters. He had a good one, but he also had a negative one. And what happened in that? The first thing he says, I don't know him. And he goes back fishing. But this same Peter now is standing up in front of this group of people. And he's got something to say. You flick it on for us, that would be great, Craig. To verse 22, that's verse 22 of Acts chapter 2. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did through him as you yourself know. Verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him in on a cross. But God raised him from the dead. What's the chances of that? This is what I hear Peter saying. He says, you put him to death on the cross, but God raised him from the dead. What's the chances of that? And then he says, you nailed him to a cross, but he was freed from the agony of death. What's the chances of that? Because it was impossible for death to keep hold of him, even though you put him on a cross. What's the chances of that? Well, actually, it was one in one. It was one in one. And then we move on to verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, who you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And as Keith explained last week, the fact that he was made the cross, that's the central theme of the gospel. That is the good news, as Keith said last week. What the chances of that? Now, a bit later on at the end of the chapter, we come across the verse that says this, and I'll read it for you because it's not on there. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour for all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. We all know that verse, don't we? And do you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds, and they all lived happily ever after. That's what it sounds like to me. They had this wonderful event that took place, and 3,000 people were saved, and they all got together in their homes, and they had lovely meals, and they had those kind of first encounters. They'd walk down the street and bump into each other, and they'd share a bit of coffee, and they'd laugh, and they'd eat together with glad and sincere hearts. So in the light of this scripture, what do we do? What do we do? How do we apply God's understanding to us today? Well, the reality was that they may have had a few of those kinds of encounters, but it wasn't long before they started to have encounters of a different kind. Now, I was going to sort of play around with a close encounter of the... But it's just cheesy, that, isn't it? It was just too cheesy. I just couldn't do that. But they had different kinds of encounters. Within a very short space of time, they became persecuted. They became refugees. They were scattered throughout the whole of the area. And they started to be killed. In fact, one of them had so much peace in his heart, as they were killing him, he actually had the depths in that encounter to say, God, don't hold this against them. There was a joy that he had that probably we can't understand, but that encounter for him, although it was the most negative thing, actually something really good came out of it. So how can we apply this? In this congregation today, let's just have a think. Over the last week, how many of you had the first kind of encounter? Did any of you just have a chance meeting this week with somebody that was, you haven't seen for ages, and you just happened to meet somebody, and anybody at all been in that situation this week? No, you sad lot of people. You want to get out. It's a problem. You spend too much time in the church, you'd be outside meeting people. Nobody had a chance encounter this week. Never met into anybody they haven't seen for ages. Oh, Ros, thank you so much. What's the chance of that?
Took their seats were our old
What's the chances of that? Dawn, you had one. Wow.
He was my father. I hadn't spoken to anyone since then. And I was in Asda, and I heard this person say, "Hello, Baggett." That was my nickname when I was a kid, because I didn't like Baggett. And I met my dad, and we've been together
since then. Wonderful. So we have in here some people who've had that chance encounter. What about, and I'm not going to ask you to answer this time, what about people, though, who are living through that other kind of encounter now? What about some of those? Some who are living through some kind of unpleasant circumstances. Maybe where you went through a process where, and they all lived happily ever after, and then actually something changed. Now, it wouldn't be fair for me to put my hand up. You're asking you to put your hand up, but I'm going to put my hand up and say, over the last 12 months, my life has been like a Dickens novel. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. Out of the blue, I started to suffer with deep anxiety and depression. Never happened in my life before. But out of the blue, I had an encounter. And it was a bit like what the poet Dante writes. He says this, he says, "In the middle of our journey of life, I found myself within a dark wood where the straight way was lost." And the truth of the situation, I'm probably not out of the woods yet. Yet. It's when you have that kind of encounter that actually living a renewed life is very hard. You can learn all you like about how to deal with difficult circumstances, what to pray, which verses to read, what songs to sing. But you know, sometimes it doesn't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. It can be very difficult sometimes to recognize who Jesus is in those situations. Did I encounter more of Jesus in that time? If I'm really honest with you, I couldn't find him anywhere. He wasn't anywhere. I've been a Christian for many years. And it was almost like when I was in that, I was traveling through that darkest wood. Where were you? I could have read Footsteps, the poem, every day, 10 times, wouldn't have made a scrap. The difference. See, learning something is actually very easy, but living it is much harder. It's much harder. Even if Jesus had appeared to me, even if I'd have encountered him, I think I'd have been a bit like those disciples that actually I wouldn't have recognized him. I had some very, very dark days, and it was like, where are you in the midst of all this? But Jesus appeared to me in a different form. And I did encounter him. I encountered Jesus in the grace and the forgiveness and the love and the patience of the support of people that were around me. He appeared in the form of a stranger who didn't really know me, who actually was willing to trust me to work in his company, even though all the trust and confidence that I had in me had completely gone. I recognized Jesus in a different form in the companionable, can't say the word, but it's an important word for me to say, the companionable silence of a friend. Somebody who's just willing to sit with me and not actually say a word. I encountered Jesus in blue skies. in torrential rain and in howling winds. But it wasn't the kind of Jesus that I was looking for. He appeared in a different form. So what does it actually mean for you to live a renewed life? Well, it's going to mean something different for every single one of you. Would I choose that encounter? Would I choose that encounter? The answer to that is no. It chose me. I didn't have any choice over the situation. Something might choose you. You have no choice over. And what we need to do is we need to be looking with different eyes to see if we can see the form that Jesus takes when we encounter him in that situation. As we close today, I want to show you a quote which is actually by Tom Wright. And he says this about the resurrection. He says, the point of the resurrection is this, is that the present bodily life is not valueless just because it will die. What you do with your present, what you do with your body in the present matters, because God has a great future in store for us. The encounters that happen to us in our life, good and bad, God can actually renew those encounters. It says, what you do in the present by painting, by preaching, by singing, by sowing, by praying, by teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbour as yourself, is going to last. Perhaps that's the different form that Jesus takes. Perhaps you can encounter more of Jesus when you dig a well. Perhaps you can encounter more of Jesus by writing poetry. Maybe you can encounter more of Jesus by being a neighbour. There's three things that you can do, because this is the most amazing thing. You, next week, in the next 7 days, could quite possibly be the encounter that somebody is looking for of a positive situation because they're encountering a negative situation. You might just be the person next week that needs to show kindness to somebody. You may just be. What's the chances of that? What's the chances that you in the next 7 days can be Jesus in a different form? I would say the chances are one in one. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you so much for how your world and our lives are real. Sometimes we can so often talk about things in church, and it sounds like they all live happily ever after, but that isn't reality. It wasn't reality for you. It wasn't the reality for those people who followed you, and it's not the reality for us. And sometimes we encounter wonderful things that happen, but we also encounter circumstances that happen to us. I pray that you would help us, God, that in those times when we really need faith because we can't see you, it doesn't matter how much we read your scripture, it doesn't matter how much we pray prayers, it doesn't matter how much we resort to this learning that we've had for years, you're just nowhere to be found, or it seems like that. That you would help us to see you in a different form. And that you would also help us to be that different form of you as we walk through life. That we may encounter somebody who we can be the positive encounter as they're experiencing the negative one. Help us to be good listeners, God. Help us to be people who are willing just to shut up and sometimes just listen rather than give advice. Help us just to be people, Father, who are willing to have empathy rather than sympathy. in Jesus' name.